Good morning. Man, there's a lot of people out there. Shoosh, we're gonna have to go back to making room and sliding in, or a third service or something. No. And we'll start meeting in the parking lot. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. That is an awesome statement. Awesome song. This I know with all my heart. God died for me. He died in my place on the cross. I should have died. I was the one that sins. Sins deserve eternal punishment, but God sent Jesus Christ. God became a man, and this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom. We cannot compromise on that at all. That is God's plan. Awesome. Awesome singing. Awesome reminders. I did get a little distracted one time when I was singing, and I don't know. I don't think we have any police in our service today. The sheriff isn't here, or else he's out doing something. But you would probably be in trouble, Michael, for corruption of a minor. Patriot shirts. It's a good thing, I'll tell you.
Love one another.
Oh, God even loves sinners. That's great. Oh, man. But is there something happening with the Patriots these days?
Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. I really appreciate you guys being here. I really enjoy coming here. Thank you for letting me. Thanks for coming. I just really do appreciate you guys, every one of you guys. There's some new people that I don't even know. That's probably best for them that I don't know them. But I love having you guys here. Thank you for visiting, for being part of this church, for choosing this church. But I want to tell you something. We will not compromise the Word of God in this church. And I know we've been giving you some warnings about that happening around town. And please take those warnings very, very seriously. But we will not compromise the Word of God. And if I do start to compromise the Word of God, you need to tell me. You need to take me, you know, what do they call me on the carpet? Whatever that means. I've never been called on the carpet. I've gone to the principal's office before. But, you know, we want to stay true to the Word of God. And it's a great thing to be here. So I loved Bennett. He's still not in the room, probably. First service I was calling him, I called him Father Smith. And, you know, I can call him that because every once in a while, people that come from Catholic backgrounds refer to me as Father. They talk to me as Father. I'm like, ooh, that feels good. You know, it's like, my kids don't even do that. They call me Dad. So anyway, but I really loved what he said, and I loved the fact, and I want to know that when we come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, not go to church, not be good, when we come to the point where we realize that I deserve eternal death because I've sinned against God, and when I come to realize that and accept God's forgiveness for my sins because Jesus died, he was buried, and when he was on the cross, he took all my sins on his body. He died for me, and he rose again, proving that he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he offers me salvation. And when I said, God, I believe that you died for me, I was born into God's family. It's by believing in his heart that a man becomes right with God, or a woman, a man becomes right with God. With his mouth, he tells others of his faith, and I became born into God's family. I love when people share their relationship with Jesus Christ, but we're all, if we're born into God's family, we're all at a different stage in our spiritual growth, okay? Because some of you guys are just still seeking truth. Some of you guys have come to know God as truth. Some of you guys have been saved for a long time or born into God's family or whatever you want to call it for a long time. And God is working on your life and you're growing different parts of your, you know, your spiritual life. Whatever stage you're at, we are all growing. We're all continuing to grow. And I love having you here. And I love being able to challenge you and in doing so to really challenge my life. Because the things I got to tell you today are things that I've been struggling with and things that I've been applying to my life for a long time before I get up here on a Sunday morning, because I don't want to just say things. I want to live what I'm saying. I want to be real about what I say. And those of you guys that know me know I am as much as possible. But we've been studying Philippians. We've been studying service, serving God, created to serve. And Philippians 2, 12 to 13, is I'm going to start there again. We've read this a bunch of times. I think we've been on this serving thing for like 3 weeks now. 4 weeks now, because it's titled number four. 4 weeks now, and we're going to be on there for at least 2 more weeks after this, you know. But why am I harping on serving? Because you're going to find out by the end of the service why I'm harping on serving, okay? For one thing, God asked me to equip people to serve, but you'll see a little bit later on why, and it's not so much for my benefit, it is for yours. But Philippians 2, 12 to 13 says, therefore, since we know that Jesus Christ died for our sins, since we believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, therefore, when you're a child of God, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Now, we look at that verse. We've looked at that a couple weeks. I'm going to review it again really quickly now. Continue to obey God as you did in my presence now, or whatever that, anyway, but much more in my absence, okay, because I'm trying to get to the next part really quick, and my birds go, anyway, and I'm slowing down, taking a breath, very good. Continue to work out your salvation. Continue to work at your salvation. And at first glance, that what really God's saying is continue to work at your salvation. We don't have to work for our salvation. He is not saying work for our salvation. He did all the work. We need to believe that he did it for us. And we're saved. We don't have to work for it. We can't lose our salvation once we genuinely have it. But he says work out your salvation. Another way I like to look at that is work at your salvation. Or if you're a farmer, what do you do? What do you work at? You farm. You work at farming. If you're a pastor, you work at pastoring or shepherding. If you're a teacher, you work at teaching. Well, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, God says, work at being a believer in Jesus Christ. Don't just say, oh, good, I got my fire insurance, I'm going to heaven, and that's awesome. Continue to work out your salvation, work at your salvation with fear and trembling. Understand, if you're new here, and this is the first you're hearing this verse, it's not like we are called to fear God. Oh, what if he strikes me dead? What if he sends a lightning bolt? You know, my lightning bolt imitation. What if he said, you know, not that kind of fear. This is the kind of love God, reverence God, to recognize how high and lifted up he already is. He's not just a little old guy that sits up there and with a bowl full of jelly and he giggles up there and he's got the whole world in his hands. He is God the Creator, the King of Kings. Approach him boldly as a child of God, but we're forgiven, because we're forgiven, but with fear and trembling. And the best thing I can do with trembling, because that seems to go with fear, like afraid, is my little imitation of the doggy, you know? The little dog, when you come home from work and he's there and he's wagging his whole body except for his nose, you know? And pastors shouldn't even be wagging their tails like that, but anyway, excuse me. But we talked about that last week. That trembling, I got me so excited! Now, I'm not excited every day. It takes me an hour to get excited in the morning, all right? But I want to serve God. Work at your salvation. I want to work at it. I love God and what he did for me. And so continue to work at your salvation. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according and in order to fulfill his good purpose. The cool thing about serving God, it's not that we have to say, oh, it's going to be hard serving God and I got to do it. And remember last week we studied, oh, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you because my burden is light. It's still work to be a man of God, a woman of God, a child of God, a student of God. It's still work to do it. But God says, take my yoke on you. He just doesn't say, here, go work for me. He has a yoke. A yoke is a double thing around oxen, right? And he says, I'm going to keep on my part. And you get in with me and I will help you. I will carry the weight. He says, keep on working for me. You know that when you become a Christ follower, God himself lives in your life through the Spirit of God. And so we're working for God with all his might that works in us It's just awesome. So God doesn't say, okay, you work, carry the load. He said, man, I'm going to help you carry the load. I created you to serve me. Continue to serve me. And I'm going to help you carry the load. I'm going to show you. And it's just like, wow. We got it made as believers in Christ. But it's still work. It's still a burden. Each of us is gifted by God. This is all review. Each of us has been gifted by God. And by the time time's up, I'll be done in review. And so we'll just pick up next week. No, I won't. We'll get through it. But each of us has been gifted by the Holy Spirit with the ability to serve well. Every one of you guys that are believers in Christ has been gifted and knit together by God to serve Him well. Before you were born, while you were still in your mother's womb, God knit you together with the ability to serve Him well. He gave you an ability to serve Him. And none of us are observers in God's kingdom work. We're not supposed to be. A lot of church people are observers. A lot of Christians, Christ followers, are observers, unfortunately, in God's kingdom work. But we're not created to be observers. We're created to participate. All believers are made to be servants. Every believer has his part. We're all called to work, to take up your cross and follow Him. So, an obvious question that I've been asking you is, what has God created for you? What has God given you to do for His kingdom? And that's where I've been sending you home the last couple of weeks. What has God given you to do? And I'm sure every one of you spent hours and hours and hours thinking about this for the first minute, you know? But so we'll stop and think now. What has God given you to do? What is your part that God made you to do? What has He given you to do for His kingdom? And I know you're all thinking, okay, so what has God given you to do? They're asking me to serve, you know. They're asking me to get involved. Okay, that's why Pastor Bob's teaching this message. So, you know, because he has stuff around the church that doesn't get done, you know. So he's asking us to serve and get involved. And you're saying, well, and why can't I just come to church? Isn't that enough, just coming to church? Coming to church is an awesome thing. I would not want you to stop coming to church. It's a great thing. But that's not what God has in mind for you to do, just to come to church. And you know what? If you're asking the question, isn't just coming to church enough? That's a good question. So obviously, if you're asking that question, there must be some confusion about what church is for. And it's a great question. I'll bet a lot of people have thought about this before. You know, some people are not sure what they come to church for. So I've kind of come up with a couple of ideas of why people come to church that I've seen in the past. You know, maybe we thought of church as like spiritual entertainment. And you know what? It's going that way in today's society. A lot of churches are becoming, how can we entertain people? How can we make them like it? How can we make them happy? And a lot of people think of church as spiritual entertainment. I've had people, I told you before, call me on the phone and say, what does your church have to offer me? You know, and we kind of think it's spiritual entertainment. Spiritual entertainment is where you sit and watch and make comments, you know, kind of like a sporting event, you know. You sit and watch and you just make comments on it. You become like a Monday morning quarterback, they used to call it, you know? Someone who watches the Patriots lose all the time. And, oh, sorry. I can't even say I'm kidding. But, I lost my play. Where am I at? Yeah. They Monday morning quarterbacks, I think a lot of people sit in church and they listen and they sit there and on the way home they make their comments. Oh, well, he said this and I like this better and I can't believe he said that. And make comments kind of like a court, you know. It's just someone that sits and just observes and doesn't really get involved in the game. And maybe that's what you think church is. Or maybe you have the idea that church is like a social hall, you know. You come to make contacts and be seen, you know. Maybe you think church is about raising money like a social hall, and then we can feed the hungry, and the church is like a humanitarian organization. And so why would you have to get involved in that? You don't have to. You just come and you just observe. Or maybe church seems like an obligation owed to God somehow to pay Him back for His sacrifice. Now God died for you. Now you better be in church because I went through all that for you. So you better be showing up on a Sunday morning, you know. And so we show up because they're supposed to, and maybe you think that's what church is, or maybe we've been taught by our parents that it's just a thing we do on Sundays, you know? Just the thing you do on Sundays. It's just a habit. And So why would you have to get involved with that? Or, you know, it's funny, this is my favorite one. More than once, people have told me, they've told me they've come to church because it's a good place to find a date. They've told me that to my face. And if they're married, I have words with them. If they're not married, I totally agree with them. It is an awesome place to find a date, you know? I mean, what better place to find a date, you know? That's just awesome. And you can sit here and blink your eyelashes at some cute guy and stuff, just, you know. But if they're married, not if they're married. Anyway, so, but I literally have had a couple of people tell me that over the last couple of years, that they're here because it's a good place to find a date. And so if that's true, why would you have to get involved if it's just a place to show up? Or maybe, and the other way around, maybe you know God calls and equips every believer to serve. Maybe you know that. You've been in church for a long time. You're spiritually wise. You know God calls people to be equipped and serve. And you used to serve, but you got stuck in that position for so long. Now it's time for someone else to do it, because I've been doing this for 25 years, for 40 years, and someone else better do their part. I'm done. I'm going to retire from this position, you know? So maybe you're just coming to church because you're tired of serving, so you're just going to sit here and do that, you know? Or maybe you said yes so much that you just got burned out. Everybody would ask you, do this. Okay, do this. Okay, do this. Okay, do this. Ah! You know, and you just went as long as you could and finally said, I quit everything. I'm just going to sit in church and rest. And so maybe you're just sitting in church. I'm not saying that's bad to take a little break or do a position for a long time and change positions, but you're not going to serve anymore because you already did that, or you don't want to get burned out. Or here's a lot of people that don't serve God either in church or with their life because you got hurt during your time of serving. You got hurt by a church. And you're kind of like serving shy. You know, kind of like gun shy, only you're serving shy. Well, the church hurt me. You know what? Churches hurt people. Pastors hurt people. Not physically, but like to sometimes. Andy. But churches hurt people. They trample over people. They just abuse them accidentally, sometime on purpose, verbally abuse people. Pastors get hurt by churches and get out of ministries. And it hurts. And so someone says, well, churches hurt me. And so I stayed out of church for a long time. And finally I come back, but no way I'm getting involved in this. I'm just going to sit and listen because churches are nasty. And so you're just sitting and listening. Even though God's created you to serve, you're dwelling on that long past hurt. You know, another reason people don't serve God and use their talents for God is because they get involved in too many civilian affairs. The Bible talks about civilian affairs. You know, you're doing this and running here and running that. And someone comes up and says, well, you serve in church. I don't have time. And maybe God gets to the point where he says, well, you're probably a little too much involved in civilian affairs. God created us to serve spiritually, to serve him. But you're just too busy doing all kinds of other stuff. Or you know what I think is the worst? This really bugs me. I think the reason why some people don't serve is because, listen to how I say this. I'm going to read it because I want to say it right. Someone told you that you cannot serve because of past, repented of, and forgiven sins. Because someone told you that you feel already bad about your past sometimes. And I've got into this sin and that sin, and I've done all these other kinds of things, and I feel so bad. And you go to church and God's calling you to serve, and you go up to one of the leaders and they say, no, I know what you did before, but I've asked forgiveness for God. I've repented for that. I'm not living in that lifestyle anymore. Well, you ruined your chance. You can't serve here. A lady told me 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago maybe, how do you like the church? It's good, but I've been hurt by churches a lot. How have you been hurt by churches? Because I have this past. And she told me a little bit about their past. And every time I go to the church, say, well, because especially some of the more conservative churches, and nothing wrong with conservative biblically. But he goes to these churches and they say, you can't serve because when you were young, you, or when you were older, you did this. But I've repented to God. You know what repent is, right? Repent is when you agree with God. And you turn around and you live the other direction. You live right. And when you repent, if you are faithful and just to confess, if you confess your sins, he is what? Faithful and just to what? Forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And so many churches say you can never serve God again in anything other than cleaning bathrooms because you had a past. Cotton pick, which one of us didn't have a past? Cotton pick, that's just, I grew up with that. I have no idea where that came from. But it's better than a swear word. Who doesn't have a past? I was a sinner. Like Bennett shared today, he was into pornography. I was for a while too. That makes me an adulterer. Who doesn't have a past? There's one thing I know. What's the last verse of that song? His wounds have paid my ransom. I'm bought back. I'm redeemed. I'm a brand new person. I'm not the same anymore. So a lot of people sit in church with this guilt hanging over them that because someone told them they can't serve because of a repented for and forgiven by God's sins, but the church still holds it against them. Whatever our reason is for not serving or hesitating to serve, I want to tell you another thing that God says about serving. And this is a whole other angle, and it's really interesting. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. God calls the church. That's a big verse, isn't it? Complicated verse. I read it, and we're done already. I got to the end of it. God calls us a body. When you became a Christ follower, when you accepted God's forgiveness of your sins, and not before that, God himself took up residence in your body. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Skip ahead a verse on the notes, but don't you know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? When you became a Christian, when you believed in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you crossed over from death to life, and God in the form of the Holy Spirit came and took up residence inside of your life. God lives in you. You become the body of God on earth right now. And of Christ on earth. Doesn't make you God. Doesn't make you Christ. Please do not take me in the wrong way. But God lives in you. You still have an evil nature. But God is alive and living inside of you. And when you became a Christ follower, you became part of the body of Christ in the world. Okay? God does not live inside this building. He doesn't live inside a building with a steeple on it. He doesn't live inside of a living room that has a body or that has a Christians in it. He lives, he indwells his people. And when you become a Christ follower, you become part of not, and when a whole bunch of believers get together, what do we call it? A church. It's where God is, not the building. It's when God in me and God in you and God in them, and when we get together, it's a church. We are members of the same church as Satuma is in Africa. We are part of the body of Jesus Christ. You become part of that body. And God calls that church, that those believers when they gather together, a body. 1 Corinthians 12:12-14. Now listen to this. This is getting pretty cool. Just as a body, the one body has many parts. Okay, you see what he's making an illustration between the body of Christ. It's you, you are, but when you are joining with other believers, you become, you know, just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit as to one Spirit, so as to form one body. Whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink, even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Every believer at the moment of salvation is given the Holy Spirit, and you become part of a larger body of Christ. in Sunday setting, you're part of this body if you're a believer in Christ. You are literally part, one part of a body, like your body. Okay, this is my body, okay? But my body has many parts. I have a little finger and a little toe. I have many parts. You may be feel like the little toe in the body of Christ, you know? But we are part of the body. You're not just out there on your own. You are part of this body of Christ. So each of us through the Holy Spirit are parts of one body, literally one living organization. So what does that have to say about serving? You are all created to serve by God. As He knit you together in your mother's womb, He designed your DNA to serve Him in one area. Now when we all get together, here's what it has to do with serving. Let me ask you a question. Did you ever get assigned to do a job with other people? That's a hard question. You got to think about that for a while. Did you ever get assigned to do a job with anybody else? If you grew up in a family, hopefully you and your brothers and sisters got assigned a job. Some of you at work, you get assigned to do a job with other people, right? In school, you get assigned lab or whatever like that. You get assigned to do a job with other people. And when you got assigned to do a job with other people, did you ever find yourself the only one that was working? Really? That's highly unusual. Usually in a group, everybody pitches in equally to do the same amount of work. In a family, that's the way it happens, right? All the time. You do it, get assigned to do a job with other people, and you're the only one working, and they're assigned to do the same work or work within that group, but they don't. Sometimes that may be a younger sibling who always seems to get out of it, you know? Because obviously the younger sibling is always spoiled, according to the older siblings. Or maybe it's the older siblings get outside and starts assigning the task and they don't do it, you know? Or maybe the older one, they're too mature, too cool to carry their weight around the family. Or let me ask you this. How does it make you feel when you're working around... How does it make you feel when you're working around the house and someone else is just sitting there oblivious to your struggle as they are enjoying a movie, a game, or enjoying nothing? How's that make you feel, men? Because I'm sure that happens to you all the time. Or is it women that happens to all the time? So they're sitting there enjoying the game or a movie or nothing, but they're being critical of your work. Ooh. Does that make you mad? Sometimes I find myself sitting there and Vicky's up there working and I'm thinking, I should probably get up and help her. But Vicky, I don't think that goes there. It goes over there. She loves when I do that. She says, please give me more advice from your comfortable chair. Of course I wouldn't do that because I'm your pastor. I always up. Anyway, but did you ever experience that? How does it make you feel when someone's critical of your work, but they do nothing? How many times at your job have you seen slackers? Do you ever see a slacker at your job? Probably not. You guys all have the perfect job, and everybody is just the perfect worker, right? Do you ever see anybody slacking off at work? What do you think about them when they do that? Do you like and respect freeloaders, moochers, and couch potatoes? If you do, you're strange. Nobody likes that. We like to be them, but we don't like to do that. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And the church in America is full of slackers. Not Pine Grove Community Church, although we may have some. And we have all been that sometimes. But God has created us to serve and then commanded us to wherever we are, whatever gifts God has given us, what we've received from God, serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. We are called to handle God's grace and distribute it to other people through service, not from being couch potatoes and not sitting there being critical. Now, okay, you guys are the least critical church I've ever been in my entire life, okay? Maybe you're afraid of me. If so, yes. You guys have been so amazing in this church. But in any church, see if you can guess the answer to this question. Who in churches are the most critical of what goes on in that church? Those who are doing nothing. They have always been the most critical. They're the Monday morning quarterbacks. Well, you said this wrong, you could have said this, and how come the church isn't this? But they're the ones that come and sit and are not using the gifts God has given them. I want to tell you who are the least critical in a church is the people that are serving. And I'm not just talking about, please understand, I'm not just talking about you have to get involved in serving the church. Although that's really good, and so many should, and so many do. But whatever it is God has made you to do, do that. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various form. And whatever gift you have received, whatever gift has been given you to serve as you are being knit together, use it to serve. Now, there can be one more little problem that it's easy to judge yourself by the gifts you were or were not given. It's easy to judge yourself by the gifts you were or were not given. What I mean by that is, let's look at Romans 12, 3 to 6. I like talking to you guys about this kind of stuff. I'll tell you why in a minute. And the next set of verses we go to, just it takes me completely off the hook. Because serving is not for me. Serving is for you. And serving is for the church. But anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. Romans 12, 3 to 6. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Now, sometimes we think, I have a couple. I can't do that. You see someone doing something, I could never do that. I'm not good at what that person's doing. Or I don't have their personality, it's easy for them to say. I don't have their brain. I don't have their skills. I don't have their talent. And we start thinking that some of these jobs that are the upfront jobs are the important jobs in a church. And the important thing that I could never do that. So we don't even search for the gifts that we have because we could never do something else that someone else is doing. And so we don't serve. And I want to say that sometimes the ministries that you see, the pastor and the other public servers in the church, I think sometimes they get a lot of rewards. It's the person that cleans the toilet that doesn't get a reward. It's the person that stocks the shelves. It's the person that picks up the paper and stacks the chairs. And all, I know you're all going to be rushing to stack the chairs. I'm stacking the chairs. All right. You're great. Excellent. But don't think that your job is more important than someone else's. We will certainly talk about this next week. But you don't have to do what I do. You're not called. You are called to do what God created you to do. However large it seems or however small it seems, you are created to show God's grace to other people by serving in any way possible. Working with the children, working with the babies. By serving your neighbor, by whatever. Do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought or more lowly than you ought to. And shame on us people who think we have the important jobs in the church because we're the pastors and the leaders and the elders. We are called to serve the way God created us to. The same thing you were created to serve the way God created you to. So whatever it is God created you to do, it's important for us to find it. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, though many, for we form one body, and each member belongs to all the others, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each one of us. Just use your gifts to serve the body. The body of the believers on earth. By cataloging books, which sounds terribly boring to me. But he's sitting there doing it all himself. But to use our gifts to serve the body. So the whole church, and listen to this, so the whole church can grow and mature and function like a well-oiled machine or extremely fit, trained, and experienced athlete. You know why? This is the cool thing about it. You know why God wants you to use the gifts that he created you to use? So the church doesn't have to spend as much money. Why? For your sake. It's not for me. It's for you. God has called us to serve because of it's best for you to serve. You'll see it in a minute. But one thing, what I said about that, it says so the whole church can grow. The more mature you become, the more spiritually fit you become, the church starts to function like a well-oiled machine. I told first service, I had the opportunity to sit. I was in helped to do a wedding this weekend on Friday. And I sat across the table from a guy that he's like 41 or 42. He's a couple years away from retiring from the Marines for 24 years or something like that. And he took up two chairs at the table from his shoulders. And a half a chair from his waist. I was like really intimidated. I sat down at the table. I said, so. Did you hear about the gun show? He said, yes. And the things you said he had to do that day and the day before he came for his PT training. And so, it just was incredible. Well fit. See, we are called to serve, to become well-fit, well-trained believers, to serve and honor God. Listen to this verse. This is the last verse I'll talk about today. Ephesians 4, 11 to 16 is so full of stuff. I'll still be another 45 minutes on it. You're not sure whether I'm telling the truth or not, are you? Someone laughed and you faded out really quick. I'm not telling you. Ephesians 4, 11 to 16. Such a great verse. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service. You want to know, there's my job description from God himself. And what is my job? To equip God's people for works of service. See, we put our little banner up again. You know, look at that. Win, build, equip, send. If you want to know what our church is all about, right there. Just those four words. My job is not to go out and win the whole world for Jesus Christ. My job isn't to come to your house and win your friends. And I appreciate some of you guys. Like, some of you guys have parents and stuff in nursing home. You ask me to come and talk to them spiritually because it might be easier for me. But really, it's your job and I come to help you out. And I love doing that. But my job is to equip God's people for works of service. Why do you think God's people want to be equipped for? Why do you think God wants me to equip people for works of service? Because you were created to serve. And so my job is to give you tools, give you encouragement, give you training, to build you up in the knowledge of God, to say, keep saying, get out there, leave the nest, go serve. I know you don't feel like it. I know you've been told and put down, but you are called to serve and created to serve. That's my job, to equip you to go out to serve. Why? This is awesome. Why are you called to serve? And why am I called to equip you to serve? So that the body of Christ, who's the body of Christ? We are, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. And so Tuma's people are as believers in Jesus Christ, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith. Listen to that. Serving builds the body of Christ. It builds the church. It builds up the church. The more you serve, the stronger and more buff our church gets spiritually. So the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity. Do you know? And that's what I was talking about, grumbling and complaining. People that serve are in unity with the leadership of the church. Sometimes they aren't, and they leave quietly and go somewhere else and serve God. But the more we serve, the more you serve God, the more unity you will have in this church and in the body of Christ in the world, the true believers of Christ. So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. And the more you serve, I guarantee, the more you serve, the more you will grow to know God. Because you will start studying your scriptures. You will take quiet time more seriously because you will feel a need to spend more time with God. And as you're using your God-given ability to serve, it will drive you to prayer. And the more you pray and meet God, the more knowledge you will have of the Son of God. So, to reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Mature believers in Christ. You grow up by serving. It's not by how much smart stuff you can have in your head. Oh, I can quote the epistles of Paul. Woohoo. Live it! Scared you. So, then serve. Don't just stick it in your head. You weren't created to be smart. You were created to serve. To share God's grace humbly. I love it. And become mature. Listen to this. Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Whoa. Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. By serving. How does that happen? Because Jesus Christ came to be served and not to serve. Right? No. Purposely. Jesus Christ came to serve and not be served. As an example to us. I am called to serve. And the more I serve, the more I, not the more like by hours, but when I am serving God, I'm being built up, I'm being in unity with other believers because I'm doing my part in the body, my knowledge of the Son of God is growing, I'm becoming mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Answer me, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. What does it mean to attain the measure of the fullness of Christ? Now I'm asking you that question and see if anybody's brave enough to attempt an answer to that. What does it mean? Not you, because you were in first service, Mr. Guitar Player. You know, I expect twice as much out of you because you come to two services. You know that. All right. And all I get is broken strings and big fuzzy beards. Justin, you're very handsome. Okay, I'm getting back to it. What does it mean? What does it mean? What does it mean to have the fullness of Christ? Anybody, do you want to, if you're wrong, it's okay. To be perfect, okay. Although I think we'll never be perfect, so I don't fully agree with that, but I know exactly where you're going, Bob, with that. What else? To attain to, we will be someday, for sure, with Christ. But to attain to the fullness, anybody else have another really simple answer that I can understand? Okay, to be full of peace and love, it certainly will bring that out. Yes? I like that. See if anybody else want? Mitch? You know what I said fullness of Christ is? Be all God wants us to be. So you're all really right. To be all God wants us to be. See, that's why it becomes mature. Serving is one of the main tools of maturity in a believer. We'll be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and knowledge of the Son of God. Become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of God. Becoming perfect when we're saved, getting closer and closer. But being what God has called us to be. Using your gifts that God has given you to use. I think that's great. And then look at the rest of the verse. The results of these. is then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. I love that. That's just bad because I like the ocean. I like being out there. As we serve God, we speed our way to maturity and becoming what God created us to be. He knit you together. We were saved unto good works that God prepared in advance for us to do. Continue to work out your salvation, wanting to do it in respect of God. Continue to work for God. And when that happens, you'll no longer be infants tossed to and fro by the waves, and you turn the TV on, and this fancy evangelist in a slicker suit than what I'm wearing tells you, oh, that sounds right. That's, he used the Bible verse in that. And you go to another church and you know, they're talking about, well, not all the Bible's true, but he's using Bible verses, you know, and we're swayed that way. Well, that's an immature believer in Jesus Christ that's swayed by that. We'll no longer be tossed back and forth because we will know that we know that we know who God is, and we'll be in His Word and studying His Word. Because what is the only test of biblical truth? When someone says it, they say this, you hold up the Word of God to it. And if it matches, they are speaking truth. And if it doesn't match, they are lying. And that's what it says. You'll be able to not be swayed by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. That's why we are so concerned about some of the things that are going in Pine Grove and some of the things that are being taught to our middle school girls and some of the things that are being taught by the other churches and by churches all over the world, compromising with the world and trying to be nice and make friends with the world, so we compromise the Scriptures. That's immaturity. So God says you serve Him, you study the Scriptures, you communicate with God, your knowledge will grow, you'll become mature and complete, living up to all the fullness of God, living up to what God has intended you to be, not what God has intended me to be. And He says then, in speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. And from Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each does, what? As each does its part. As each does its work. This is why I'm not asking you to serve for my sake. In a way, I want you to serve for your sake. Because it's building you up in Christ. And then, if you put a whole lot of mature believers together under one roof, what do you have? A really mature church. That they're all serving God in unity. What'd you say, Andy? A mess. Yeah, sometimes you do. I talked about mature believers, you know? I mean, this kind of believers. Unfortunately, so many churches do, and that's... So as we mature, and as we individually grow to mature in Christ, and serve God, and use our abilities to serve God, and then you come together with other believers, you don't have backbiting, you don't have disunity, you don't have arguing, you don't have lazy, you have a group, a body of believers that are working together like a well-tuned machine. Like a soon-to-retire Marine. You know what? And we all benefit from your mature believing. And maturity starts with asking Christ to come into your life, confessing your sins, repenting and turning away from those sins, turning towards God, and then saying, God, what do you have me to do? What do you have me to do? So I'm sending you again, asking you to think, what is your part? What is the part given you by your Creator? The thing God made you for, so His grace can be given through you to others, so He can use you in His body. What were you made for? And are you serving? Are you building up the body? Are you helping the body of Christ become mature? Helping us to be all He wants us to be as Pine Grove Community Church? Because what we do here affects what happens in Africa, because they are part of our body and we are part of the body of Jesus Christ. can't wait to get to the next 2 weeks, because we're going to be talking more about the body and talking more about the individual parts. And we're going to be talking a little bit about the difference between gifts from the Spirit and talents, and how you tell the difference between them. Because I really want you to, that's why we're spending a lot of weeks on this, I really want you to think, not because the church needs you. We have plenty of money. We have plenty of 22 guys that come out to volunteer, 22, 23 people come out to volunteer. I love having help. We need some help in some of the other areas. We'll talk about that later on. But for your sake, and whether you grow or not affects this whole entire body. Because we are one body. So be thinking about that. Don't feel guilt. I don't want you to go home and think, oh, just ask God. Go to God. Seek God. What is your part? You're already doing something? Does he want you to do more? Just be what God wants you to be. That's attaining to the fullness of Christ. In obedience, do what he asks you to do. Be who he asks you to be. It's a cool thing. It's so exciting when you get to that point in your life. It's hard. It's scary sometimes. But it's what God wants us to be. So, there you go. That's why I'm hounding you with this. For your benefit, not mine. But I like you. Like someone said, like, I feel like your father, in a way. I'm not saying, get to work. I'm saying, for your benefit. Do what God has called you to do. You understand? Thank you. Smile at me if you're still with me. Thank you. I feel better now. God, you're an amazing God. You want us to be what you created us to be. Because when we are, it just feels good to be mature. Help us to mature physically and help us to mature spiritually. Even more important, to mature spiritually and be who you called us to be. We are created to serve. God, we want to serve you. And I pray that we might continue to work together as a church, as each part of this body does its part. Help us to search for that, truly search for that this week. And help us come back next week kind of ready to hear some really cool stuff. In Jesus' name, amen.